Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Well, to remember a man like Friedrich Winneken, we need to go back to the mid-19th century here in America, a time when half of the country wasn't even yet populated with immigrants, a time of great religious upheaval in the wake of several great awakenings and revivalist movements, in the middle of some other revivalist movements, to a time when there were as many different kinds of Lutherans in America as there practically were congregations of Lutherans in America, a time of great confusion, and yet clear confession of men who not only looked at the chaos of the religious landscape around them, but to the sure and certain confession of the faith in the history behind them. Joining us to remember and give us a brief biography of Friedrich Winneken, one of the founding fathers of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Dr. Larry Rast, professor and chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Larry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. Great to be with you.
You're the historian. Take us back to the mid-19th century. What was the character of the times, the challenges that were facing the fledgling Lutheran Church Missouri Synod at that time?
Yes, it was a new synod, and one of many at that point in time. In fact, between the years 1840 and 1875, there were no less than 58 distinct Lutheran synods formed here in the United States. No less than 58. Just incredible, the number of Lutheran synods that were popping up. No less the number of Lutheran congregations that were being formed and Lutheran pastors who were entering into their ministry. So it was a very dynamic time, a very, very, very uncertain time in a lot of ways. And one of the things that characterized that uncertainty was about just what it meant to be a Lutheran. There were some different voices that were offering different perspectives on that. Some said it was your ethnicity that was determinative. You know, whether you were German or a Finn or an English speaker, you would kind of carve out your Lutheranism according to the language that you spoke. Others said no, it was a matter of really holding to the spirit of Luther rather than the doctrine of Luther. Theologians like Samuel Schmucker, who taught at Gettysburg and who was a leader in the General Synod, a large Lutheran synod on the United States scene, said that we don't want to be beholden to older thinking. What we want to do is develop Lutheranism into a progressive movement that really has the courage to step beyond its founder, even if that means discarding some of the doctrinal points that he made. And then there was Winneken in the Missouri Synod who said, no, we want to be faithful to the Scriptures above all, as rightly confessed by we Lutherans over time in our Lutheran confession. So we locate our Lutheran identity in the doctrinal position taught by the Scriptures and affirmed in the Lutheran confessions, both in the 16th century by Luther and his co-laborers, as well as by us here in the mid-19th century in the face of a lot of confusion and a lot of discord over what it is that the Bible actually teaches. So it was a dynamic time. It was an uncertain time. And Winneken and his co-workers stepped forward and said, what defines us is our theology.
So they firmly located, to use our term today, Lutheran identity, in the historic confessions of the Lutheran Reformation.
Right, right. They look back to those confessions because they believe they were the faithful exposition of the Scriptures, and that in order to be considered a faithful Lutheran meant to affirm the Lutheran confessions, which had its roots in the Bible itself.
Well, when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Larry Rast, getting a biography of Friedrich Winneken, one of the founding fathers of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Continuing education for the Confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly. issuesetc.org. Stay connected. issuesetc.org.
Redeemer is a place. We're on the map, 202 West Rudisill, right here in sunny Fort Wayne. But Redeemer is a kind of state of mind also. It's a place where Lutheran and Christian are synonymous, where stewardship and outreach and mentoring and assimilation aren't talked about that much. They're just done. But that's really because Redeemer is a place that is defined by and revolves around the forgiving gospel of Jesus Christ. Redeemer Lutheran Church, by grace.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Wednesday afternoon, May the 4th. 10 more minutes with Dr. Larry Rasch talking about Friedrich Winneken, one of the founders of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Then in the second hour, Jennifer Roback Morse will join us from the Ruth Institute. And then we'll do some open lines. Your answer to the question, how should Christians react to the death of Osama bin Laden? That's coming up in about 20 minutes here on Issues Etc. Larry, before the break, you were talking about the Lutheran identity question. It sounds like from what you were saying that these men, among whom Winneken is numbered, they were no strangers to what we face today as confessional Lutherans in America, all sorts of influences from the broader religious landscape.
Yeah. In fact, that's one of the elements of Winneken's genius, in my mind, is that he was completely engaged in the world of his time. You know, a lot of times folks will think, well, you had German immigrants who primarily were using the German language and the like, and therefore they were kind of out of the mainstream, if you will, of the American experience. Well, not Winneken. He knew exactly what was going on, and he engaged his context vigorously, and he did so very intentionally from a confessional Lutheran perspective. That is to say, he made himself aware of what was happening both in the Lutheran tradition here in America as well as the broader American Christian tradition. So he knew about the revivalists like Charles Finney. He knew very well of the work of Lutheran theologians like Samuel Schmucker. He wasn't uninformed. He wasn't disengaged. He was right there in the thick of things. And he knew then how to apply this theology. It wasn't an abstract theology for him, but this was a matter of applying the unchanging gospel to people's lives. Folks who were out on the frontier, folks who oftentimes weren't receiving consistent pastoral care, or if they were being cared for by a pastor, it was sometimes a pastor who was confused on the distinction between law and gospel, who had confused the doctrine of justification. And Winneken said, above all, what we need to do is take our theology, our confession, and apply it and preach it and integrate it into the lives of God's people. And he did that brilliantly.
Just to kind of clarify something, because it's very common nowadays for those who want to be and remain distinctly theologically and in application pastorally Lutheran, we're often accused by people inside and outside Lutheranism of essentially being sectarian. You just want to be Lutheran for the sake of being Lutheran. Why was it that Winneken and others at his time rejected the different theology, in essence, the different confession that was so popular in revivalism?
Sure. No, that's a good question. The problem, as they saw it, was not the motives of the people who were proclaiming that particular version of Christianity, if you want to put it that way. So they weren't questioning people's motives or anything like that. But what they said was there had been a profound confusion of the Word of God in these theological movements, something that turned people away from the pure Word of the Gospel, that turned people away from, or at the very least confused, the clear teaching of salvation by grace through faith alone because of the work of Christ. That is to say, this theology wasn't just an abstract principle, but rather the people were being told there has to be something more, something you do, something you contribute in terms of your own salvation. And for Winnikin, this put the heart of the gospel at stake. If theology as an end in itself, that wasn't what he was talking about here. He was talking about a theology that had implications for the life of the person right now, but above all, that had implications for the clarity of the gospel and the right understanding of what the Word of God taught.
So, as president, what did he do? I mean, he was president for a fewer years, I think, than a lot of other presidents at that time. Only, if I read it correctly, only about 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
What did he do during that time?
During his presidency, brought together two of the really key aspects that have defined our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. That is theological clarity with an incredibly vigorous sense of reaching out with that confession. So that the wedding of doctrine and practice, the wedding together of theology and mission, you see that exemplified best in Winnikin, in one who has, again, clarity of thought, but sees that always in service of the proclamation of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments. And to do it in a way that administratively will be done most effectively. It's during Winnikin's tenure, for example, that the first districts are formed in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And so his presidency is characterized by that wedding of those three things that are so important in the figure of a president. Namely, he has theological insight, he couples that with a vigorous sense of mission, and he's administratively capable as well. And in that regard, I often hold up to my students here at the seminary, Winnikin is a model to be followed for all of us, whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, as a seminary prof, as a parish pastor, whatever God calls us to.
Finally, then, how can we summarize Winnikin? I mean, I remember the extent of my knowledge of Friedrich Winnikin was there was a building named after him, the seminary that I attended. If you could summarize the man's life and work, in particular, the time spent serving as president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, how would you put it into a nutshell, Larry?
In a nutshell, it's a man who always thinks of himself as a pastor, and a pastor is one who cares for the people by proclaiming the truth of God's Word as rightly interpreted in the Lutheran confessions. He brings those things together in such a beautiful and a powerful way that there's really nothing in his life that isn't characterized by that. So wherever he finds himself, either as a circuit-riding pastor out on the American frontier, as pastor at an established Lutheran congregation in Baltimore, as president of the Synod for 14 years, and then later again as a pastor again in Cleveland after he had declined to allow his name to stand for the presidency in 1864. In all of these things, he brings together God's gracious word of forgiveness in Jesus Christ, and that energizes him for mission, and it allows him to be the powerful leader he was as he led his fellow clergy in taking the truth to the nations, to all of these folks who are making their way in and around and through the United States so that they could know Jesus Christ and the forgiveness that God has for them through Jesus Christ.
Okay, we always ask about a favorite quote, but before we get a favorite quote from Friedrich Winnikin from you, Larry, do you have a favorite story about Friedrich Winnikin?
Oh, I have a lot of favorite stories about Winnikin. Brother, which one do you Which one do you pick? Just to give you a kind of feel for the man, there's a time when he's out riding the horse and gets lost and is trying to make his way back home to Fort Wayne, but it gets dark and he can't find his way. And as he's riding along in the dark, he actually falls off the horse and falls into a pool of water that he thinks is just a swamp, but it turns out to be a lake. And in fact, he spends the night lying on a log out in the middle of a little pond. And then in the morning, he's able to see his horse on the shore, and he hops back on the horse, makes his way back to Fort Wayne. But it just underscores the manner in which this guy gives every bit of his being for the sake of the proclamation of the gospel. And that really is, captures Winnikin the man in a powerful way to me.
And a favorite quote?
My favorite quote is a simple one that comes from his little pamphlet, The Distress of the German Lutherans in North America. When he says, when he's writing to his colleagues in Germany and also to colleagues in America, saying, "In this reawakened hope, I'm again presenting to the church, with a prayer to God who desires to help, the need, and once more calling out in the name of Jesus, help, help quickly, help with Christian generosity." And that just shows you the intensity of the man in terms of the mission that is before him, that only the pure Lutheran confession of the gospel based on the scriptures, that only that can give.
Larry Rast is Associate Professor of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Larry, you know what I hope for you? Hope someday there's a building at some seminary named Rast. I really do.
Well, I don't need such a thing. I don't think I measure up to those who've gone before, but I appreciate the sentiment nonetheless, Todd.
Well, if I have anything to do it, and I plan to outlast you, if I have anything to do about it someday, we'll on one of the two seminary campuses, we'll have a building, maybe just a maintenance shed or something like that, but we'll call it Rast Hall.
There you go. That'd be about appropriate.
Thanks for being our guest.
Thanks, Todd.
Folks, you can read an article written by Dr. Larry Rast about Friedrich Winnikin under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. When we come back, it's Hour 2 of Issues Etc. live this Wednesday afternoon, May the 4th. We'll kick it off with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute. We're going to talk about attempts to legally defend DOMA because the president, President Barack Obama, has officially refused to defend DOMA any longer through his administration. House Republicans have decided to take the defense into their own hands. Attempting to do this, there's been some small kerfuffle at a Washington law firm, and a former solicitor general saw fit to leave so that he could defend DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act. We'll see what Jennifer has to say about all of that on the other side of the break. Then I want to know what you have to say. The question I'm asking for open lines in the second hour of the program: how should Christians react to the death of Osama bin Laden? Open lines in hour two, 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or leave your answer at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
Weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.